Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
The sermon today is going to be on forgiveness and and loving one another, because I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings yesterday. If I got you wet, you deserved it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. If you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Hallelujah. I want to set up this what's going on here a little bit. Praise God. 1 Samuel 16. Israel wanted a king. They want to be like every nation around them. And they asked God for a king. And God had a man that he was a prophet. His name was Samuel. And Samuel wasn't too happy about the whole idea, but God said, go ahead, find them a king. I'll lead you to him. And he led him to a man named Saul. And Saul started out as a really good king. He really did. He loved God. He was a humble man at the beginning. But things began to change. He began to allow his position to take overwhelm him, and he began to do things that he shouldn't do. He began to disobey the Lord when the Lord had asked him to take care of a nation that the king was a bad king. And he goes, and Samuel told me, what you need to do is just go in there and wipe everybody out. Just and I know it doesn't sound real good, but that's what God, the intent of God was. And for whatever reason, Saul decided he was going to keep the best sheep. He was going to keep the king alive, and didn't do what the prophet had told him to do by the word of the Lord. Therefore, the word of God says that God said to him, well, you know what? I'm going to turn from him, and I'm going to give that kingdom to another. And it's kind of a sad deal. And, you know, can I tell you that, folks, that authority and which God has given his people. Do you know that? How many of you know that God has given you authority in the earth? Do you know that? But if you allow that to get to your head, if you forget your place before the throne, our place before the throne is always at his feet. Is that right? Never standing up in front of him, dictating to him, but always standing at God's feet, worshiping, knowing your place with God is important. And it's like Saul began to forget his place. And so God is now in the middle of getting ready to bring in another king. Samuel's upset because Saul would disobey and disobey and disobey. But God is about to bring David on the scene, and I love this story. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll start at verse 1. And it said, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you, and say, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me whom I name unto thee. And what I like about Samuel is Samuel always does what God's telling him to do. That's what I like about him. And what what's cool about God, God has given him why he's going to do this and what he wants him to do. He tells him, go to Jesse's house, and I want you to anoint me a king. Samuel has a little bit, but God, if Saul hears about it, he's going to kill me. He will kill me. It's not one of those, you know, like if you walk on your wife's mop floor, she'll kill you. It's not that kind. Samuel was saying, dude, this guy will kill me, God. He'll kill me. God says, go ahead, and when you go, isn't it neat how God speaks to his man? Isn't that nice? Isn't it cool? He does the same thing for us. Anything that you see in the scriptures, he'll speak to you in the same way. That's just who God is. He wants to talk to you in this same way. He said, hey, you know what? Go ahead. get a heifer, which is a cow, get a cow and take it in there and sacrifice it unto God. They needed to turn the lights on for me because, never mind, I won't say that. Glory to God. So he take a cow and tell everybody you're there to do a sacrifice. So that's what Samuel does. And I like this part right here, because when Samuel was dealing with Saul about what he had did, Saul had kept the king alive. And Saul had specifically told him, the Lord wants you to wipe everybody out. But he kept the king alive for what reasons, I don't get. But he kept him alive. And when Samuel shows up, he tells him something. He goes, hey, man, why did you leave the king alive? So the king thought he was okay. Samuel takes out a sword and he kills the king. Kind of weird. I remember a young lady in my youth group. Her name was Bailey Cooper. And we were reading this story, and in the story it talks about how Saul pulled a sword out. I mean, how Samuel pulls a sword out and he kills the king. But we're in the part where we were reading, Bailey was reading, and she had a book called, her Bible was called the Precious Moments Bible. You guys ever heard of Precious Moments Bible? Yeah, it was the Precious Moments Bible. And it said in there, when Samuel killed Agag, he hacked him to pieces. This was a Precious Moments Bible. I said, oh man, that's precious moment, man. And you know, and we laughed, we thought it was, but that's what God had told Saul, kill the king, and he didn't, but Samuel did. So when Samuel shows up into the city where Jesse the Bethlehemite lived, when he shows up, those people are afraid of Samuel. They go, whoa, this guy is a little bit more aggressive than what we figured a prophet is. Samuel was an aggressive prophet. He would do what God told him to do, which is cool. So here we are. Verse 4, I will read that again. Samuel did that which the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass that when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is on him. Just because Eliab was the oldest son, probably the biggest one, the tallest one, the one with the most muscles, Samuel looks and that's the one right there. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For a man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your children? And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come in, till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. I like that, don't you like that? When David walks in, this was what God himself said, I have chosen me a king. And when he walked in, I like what the Father says, rise up, anoint him. This is the one. Oh, man, I love that, man. Can I tell you this morning that God has chosen you? Can I tell you that? You are, every one of you in the house, if the Lord Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he has chosen you. He has picked you. You've not chosen him. He has chosen you. And that's a special place to be. Hallelujah. I love it, man. This is he says. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is where we get the title of the sermon. Oops. This is where we... What's going on? I imagine David was probably thinking, what just happened? The prophet came and anointed him with oil. Didn't say a lot. It doesn't say that he said a lot to him. He just rose up, anointed him with oil, and left. David's probably, should I go back to the sheep now? What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. Dad probably looked at him and said, get back out there with them sheep. He's the youngest one. Probably the, you know, I don't think the youngest son in that family in those days had carried a lot of respect. The oldest son had carried a lot of respect. But I think the youngest one was, get back out there and, I don't know. You're not nothing special, David. Get out there. Crazy. But David was chosen by God. Isn't that cool? I'm going to read on just a little bit. See what happens with Saul. It says, and Saul's servant, and he said, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on the harp, a musician. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. How many of you know there's something about music? How many of you like putting on nice music at your house, man? And just, man, just allowing yourself to just kind of relax and then worship God. I mean, there's something about music. Music will do things for you that a lot of things won't. Music will come into your ears and it will come in as a soothing agent if you allow it to. It's really cool. And these servants, they realized that. They knew that if we could find somebody that could just play well, that music will help our king, Saul. And Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is a cunning player and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and a prudent in manners, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Here's one of Saul's servants looking, and he said, look, I've seen a guy. Remember when it said that when David walked in the room, he was ruddy, of a beautiful countenance, he looked good, handsome young man. But young. But this guy could play. I'm not sure about. You know how to play a harp, huh? Yeah. A harp player. He could play. Isn't it funny how God places that on David? They could have found anybody. But all it was now it was something that David had placed upon him to go in and play for the king. Isn't that crazy? Can I tell you, God does know what he's doing. He always does. No matter what's going on in your life, he knows what he's doing. Wherefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send David your son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread, a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Saul liked David. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp, played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed. I love it. Here is David. All the giftings that he has are now becoming a very important part of his life. Isn't that right? He probably sat out there and played those sheep, playing songs to God, worshiping God with his harp. out on the mountainside, and you know, the sheep have probably little response, maybe put him to sleep, I don't know what it was, but now he's got this ability to go and stand before the king. And I want to say something to, I believe is because God had an inheritance for David. Is that right? David was a worshiper of God. And that worship brought forth, began to spring out of David, the inheritance that God had for him. Listen to me. This is what he has for each and every one of you. He has an inheritance for you. And it's deep within you. If you will spend more time, well, but Pastor, I don't have no time. Who does? We all have the same amount of time. How many of you know that? How much? You know, we all got 24 hours, is that right? Per day. Hallelujah. It's nice. Nice to have that. Nice to know that nobody is extra, has extra hours. They don't. If you would spend more time worshiping God, honoring Him, you're going to find that He begins to open these things up to you. Because He does have an inheritance for you. And it's bigger than what you ever thought. You might think, well, I'm good here. I'm good now. And I say, I will say this to you, that God has so much more for you than you can even, stuff you haven't even thought of, God has for you. Hallelujah. And He's going to take you there. He's got an inheritance for you. But sometimes that inheritance comes in a weird place. Can I tell you that everything that He has for you shows up in different ways? Can I say that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me just rehearse some of David's life for you. David killed a bear and a lion while he was watching his father's sheep. Probably nobody around. But he killed a bear and a lion protecting his father's sheep. That was part of his inheritance. Whether he believed it or not, he probably, man, might have went home and said, Dad, I killed a bear today trying to get the sheep. Good, that's your job. Go wash up for dinner. Probably didn't make too much of a thing about, but David, what was going on in his life, God helped him to kill a bear and a lion. It's cool, man. I don't know about you, but I don't want to fight no bear. I don't know about you, I'm not crazy about lions either. Hallelujah. God wanted me to do that. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Praise God. Came to this part where, you know, and all of a sudden there's this prophet anointing him with oil, part of his inheritance. Gets a job in the king's palace doing what he likes to do, playing his harp in the king's palace. Part of God's inheritance for him. Is that right? God taking you taking him to an inheritance. Do you know that the ladies were singing because, well, there was a guy named Goliath that was in David's life. It was part of his inheritance. He went and he killed that giant. Remember that? That was part of his inheritance. It made Saul look at him, well, this guy's not just a guitar player. This guy is a giant slayer. He's just not a guitar player. He's a giant slayer. Praise God. Now he says, let's give him an army. Gives him an army. Goes out, starts winning battles. And then there's a part in the life where he's coming in. David's innocent. The ladies, well, he's handsome. You know, he's coming in. And they say, well, you know, David Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul gets upset and mad and jealous. And all those things that had been brewing in his heart, now he had a point of focus, which was David. Began to go after David. David was playing his harp in the king's palace, and David and Saul starts thinking about 10,000s, thousands. Picks up a javelin and throws it at him. David gets out of the way, gets out. That javelin was part of his inheritance. Do you hear me? You guys are saying, oh, okay, I don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you that it really was. God was building him. Everything in your life that seems contrary to who you are and what God, you would think God is wanting to do with you, I'm going to tell you this, that it is a plan of God to strengthen you in those things if you'll allow Him to. Some people get bitter with God and say, He don't care about me, so I don't care about Him. Walk away. But yet God has an inheritance for you if you'll just trust Him. Can I say it's important that we trust God? Hallelujah. You need to trust Him. There was a time where he was on the run from, now he's a criminal. Not anything that he's done, except that he was a mighty general that would honor his king, that loved his king. But now he's on the run because that king is jealous of him, looking for him in every place, sending his armies out, sending out 3,000 men is what it says. 3,000 men to find David and his group of 300. But yet God would keep over here. Get over here. Get over here. He would hide him. On the run, a criminal on the run. While he's on the run, he's watching over some cattle for a guy named Nabal. And David hears that they're shearing his sheep, so he said, he told some guys, hey, go down there and talk to him, tell him, hey man, that we were kind of like your guards, and we were watched over, didn't let any animals eat your sheep, and see what he gives us. Well, Nabal, who is David, dishonored him, said, hey man, he's just a runaway slave, a runaway criminal is what he is. So David gets upset, and he goes after, he's going to get ready to kill Nabal and his family, going to wipe them out for doing that, for dishonoring him. And he meets Abigail. Abigail stops him from doing that, and she tells him something to this, and he goes, why would you do this? Because you are wrapped up by God. God has watched over you and taken care of you. Why would you do something like this? Nabal is just a foolish man, and that's why his name is Nabal. He's foolish, and that's why he's dishonored you. Don't do this thing, David. Later on, Nabal dies. David never did go in and wipe them out. And then when Nabal dies, David sent, and he got him a new wife. Is that all right? So there was a high point in David's life. He got a wife out of this. It was cool. Praise God. How do you say praise God? Not all of you. Some of you guys, well, boy, I don't know if he needed a wife. Praise God. No, man, but he did. But probably David needed a wife. The one Saul had given him, he wouldn't give her. I mean, the one that Saul had given, he couldn't get because Saul had kept her away from him. So here he has a new wife, he's on the run, and then Saul goes into battle, gets killed, and David, they recognize David as a king, and now all of a sudden David is asked to be king. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? God had an inheritance for him, but every step of the way God was teaching David, showing David things, allowing David to know some things, that he would watch him and take care of him every step of his life. And that's the same thing that he's doing for us. Do you know that? Do you know that he is watching over you? Galatians chapter 4. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Glory to God. Start at verse 1. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the father. And then he says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And verse 7 says this, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Can I say something to you? That you guys are heirs of God. Do you hear me? If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that's what God's done. He's adopted you and His family, and He has created in you a position that you have to understand. You cannot deny. You are an heir of God. You have an inheritance with God. Everything that He has for you is wrapped up already within inside of you. Do you know that? All the things that you need are already within you. Do you know that? It's because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. The Word of God says that He has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that you need is already within you. You're an heir. You are an heir. I'm going to say that again. You're an heir. You have an inheritance. You are an heir. You're not just somebody. You are an heir. God has things for you, and he's bringing them to you. He will bring them to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Why don't you look at this? In whom, talking about Jesus, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. How many of you say, yeah? Yeah, not very many of you like it, like the fact that you have an inheritance. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I got an inheritance. I don't know about you. I don't know about y'all, but I care. I don't care. I know that I've got an inheritance. I see one hand way over there still waving at me. Praise God. There's a big guy over there that's glad he's got an inheritance. Let me, I tell you, you might not know it, but you've got an inheritance that is crazy. It's way out past what you can even imagine. It's cool, man. I love it. A friend of mine was talking about, he said, man, I was watching this thing and he said it was how a princess had married this guy that had lots of money, kind of I don't know what kind of guy, business he was in, but he had a lot of money. They got married and they bought a house and they went in, and this princess is looking around the house and she doesn't look too happy about the house. And he's looking at her and he goes, what's going on? You don't like the house? She goes, no, the house is nice. There's no furniture in this house. And he goes, Mom, we'll go buy some. I want to talk to you about your mindset. He goes, well, go buy some. She goes, buy? My lot is not to buy. She's a princess, you see. She says, my lot is to inherit. The stuff that I get is an inheritance to me. That's how I get stuff. See, do you see the two differences of a mindset? His was to go buy it. Hers was, hey, I inherit it. Folks, that's you. You are heirs and you have an inheritance, and your lot is to inherit. It's cool, man. It's really cool. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 28. Did I read Ephesians 1? I'm going to read it anyway. I'm going to read it again. Sorry. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Do you see where it says he works all things after his own counsel? What he wants to happen in your life, he works it all out for you. What he wants to happen in your life, he's going to work it out for you. He's going to plan it. He's going to be very careful in how he plans it. He's going to be very determined. He's going to be very, everything that happens to you is going to be very on the spot when it's supposed to happen. That's just the way he is. He plans it for you. He's a good God. He knows what he's doing. You can trust him. Hallelujah. The more you trust him, the more you open yourself up to receive the things that he's given you in a way that brings all the praise and the glory and the honor to him. Not to you. Not to you. Do you know how important it is to understand that everything he's given you is an inheritance to you? Do you know how important that is? It's important. It's an important deal. Romans 8:28 says this, that, you know, this scripture, Ephesians 1:11, is almost like a sister to Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. His purpose is his plan. His plan is for you. Okay, cool. I remember one time, and I've talked to you about this before, but Rosie and I, when I'd gotten laid off at the mine and didn't have a lot, but I wanted to take my kid, well, it was just my son then at the time, wanted to take him to Disneyland. And what we had was this great big Pontiac station wagon, a 1981 Pontiac station wagon, great big thing, big old boat, man, is what it was. The way I got it was it came into the shop where I was working, Green Valley, just right up the street here, Green Valley Auto, I was working there, and it came in, had a burned up engine. So my boss told me, I tell you what, Henry, I'll get the engine for it, and He goes, I want to help you and your young family out. I said, okay. He says, I'll get the engine for it. You put it in, you do all the work, and I'll let you have the car. I said, sweet, great. Well, he didn't get the size engine it had. He got a little bit smaller engine for that thing. And I'm going to tell you, that thing was a gas hog. Even back when gas was maybe $1.40 and a gallon. I don't know what it was back then. But it was a gas hog. But I was happy. I had my nice little station wagon. Chugga. So I said, hey, Rosie, let's go to Disneyland. Took the kids to Disneyland on it, man. Spent more money on gas than we did anything else. It was just horrible. Isn't that right? Remember, Rosie? Yeah, it was bad. Get back and I'm telling, you know, with all that, I told my pastor, I said, you know, I got to find me another car. He goes, really? And he goes, what's wrong with a wagon? I said, man, it eats a lot of gas and it's big. He goes, well, ask God about it. I said, well, okay. So I'm asking the Lord, and he said, make sure you ask him. Make sure you just say, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I need. How many of you guys know that the Lord said, the Word of God says that he knows your needs before you even ask him? You know that? So being that he knows it, man, you know, it's good for you to voice it, but he knows it, and he's waiting for you to ask, and that's cool. So you, I'm in church, and I'm asking the Lord for the, I go, Lord, I need another car. Can you give us another car? So we went out, Rosie and I, we went out and started looking for a car. Couldn't find one. Everything she liked, I didn't like. You know, I'm a mechanic. She wouldn't take my advice. Everything she liked, I didn't like, and everything I liked, she definitely didn't like. You know, I like Chargers and Dusters and fast cars, Camaros. We could not agree. How many of you know it's important that you agree with your wife? Young guys, man, know that. It's important that you agree with your wife. Learn that. Get that early. Write it down. You got to take notes. Write that down. That it's important that you agree with your wife. It really is. It's a happy wife, happy life. Amen. Come on. I'm telling my pastor, we can't find a car. And he goes, you need to stay in there. And when you feel the presence of God, that's when you ask. How's that? That's when I ask. Okay. So I'm in there praying. I'm praising God and worshiping God. All of a sudden, I feel the presence of God moving into the room, moving into the building. And I go, Lord, I need a car. And then I asked him again. I said, Lord, can you give us a car? Oh, and I can really feel the presence. Oh, Lord. You know what, Lord? If you don't want to give us a car, that station wagon's okay. You know, I changed my, because, you know, there's something about the presence of God. Do you know that when it's called the sufficiency of God. When you sense the presence of God, you say, man, everything's good. I'm good. It's cool. And that's just exactly the way it was. That's how I felt. But come out of there, and my pastor goes, I heard you. I heard you talking to him. He goes, how are you going to get a car like that? I said, you got to be, and he told me about Jimmy Swaggart. His grandmother used to tell him, well, he was asking the Lord for the car because Jimmy was on a bicycle. And so he was asking the Lord for the car, and Jimmy said, but that's okay, Lord. If you don't want to give me a car yet, it's okay. And his grandmother smacked him on the head, said, hey, when you're talking to him, you ask big. He's a big God. How many know he's a big God?
Amen.
He really is. He's a big God. The next week, I told Rosie, if we don't find a car this week, it means God said, not now. It's okay. And he said no, but not now. We went every night, and we looked at the car lots, and we were in there looking for cars. Finally, late Friday night, we're looking at these cars in right by the auto mall, a little corner there. And as I walked by, there was this real nice Oldsmobile, 1988, that's how long ago this was, 1988 Delta 88 Oldsmobile, sitting on the corner, white, had these real cool rims on it. And I go, I like that car. And Rosie goes, I like it too. She liked it. I liked it. I go, hey, praise God, man. So we went in, and there's the salesman come out, and we're talking to him, and I said, this is what we need. This is what we got. We can only afford this payment. Go any more than this, we can't get it. We can't afford it. He goes, okay. So he goes, let me show you this Grand Am over here. Am I looking at it? No. And I said, I want to know what that white car there is. Can you give us a price? And his response to us right off the bat was, that's too much unit for you. I go, unit? What's that? It's a car. He goes, that's too much unit for you. So he said, okay. So we looked at this Grand Am. Didn't like it. Rosie didn't like it. I didn't like it. Looked at another car. And I said, how much do you want for that car? That's too much car for you. Oh, yeah. Well, how much do you want? He looks at his watch. He goes, you know, it's getting late. I'll go ahead and talk to the boss about it. But I don't get your hopes up. Goes in. Talks to his boss, comes out, and he's looking, and he goes, well, before we did that, I mean, when he went in, Rosie and I, we decided, well, let's just pray here, because we found one that we like. So we prayed, closed my eyes, we were praying, and then when we opened our eyes, the lights were off in the parking lot. Isn't that right, Rose? They had shut the lights out. It was time for them to close. And so I'm like, wow, check it out. And I said, we probably won't get one tonight. He comes back out and he tells us, he goes, something funny. He goes, my boss told me to give it to you however you wanted it. We said, great. Took it for a little ride, came back. It didn't have cruise control and didn't have a tape deck. It just had a radio. That's back in 88. I said, hey, I don't want to be real picky about this, but hey, can you put a cruise control on it and a radio? And he goes, oh boy, man, we're already giving it to you. He goes, let me go see what my boss says. He goes in, talks to his boss, comes back out, and he's scratching. He goes, I don't get it. I don't know why he's doing it, but he says, yeah, he'll put a radio and a cassette deck in it for you. Cassette. You guys remember that? Great, man. He says, you can take it tonight, bring it back on Monday. They'll take it to the shop. They'll give you a car to drive around till you get it, till it's ready. Cool. So we drove it home, man. Nice car. No more big clunking station wagon. How many got a station wagon right now? Oh, never mind. Nobody owns a station wagon anymore, do they? Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Get there the next morning on Monday morning. They pick up the car and they take it. Give me a car to run around in. 4 o'clock, I come back. That's what the time they told me to get back. 4 o'clock, I'm in there, and I'm waiting for the car. And there's a guy in there walking back and forth, watching all the salesmen. And I kind of figured he must be the boss. So I'm standing in there, and all of a sudden the car comes in. I go, yeah, I can leave. And he's standing. He's looking out the window, and he turns around and looks at me and goes, is that your car? I go, that's my car. He goes, can I talk to you for a minute? I say, sure. Takes me into his office and closes the door. And that felt kind of weird. I go, oh, what's this guy up to? And he tells me, let me tell you something. You're a Christian, aren't you? I said, oh, yes, I am. No, it was kind of weird to me. I said, yeah, I am. How'd you know that? He goes, I'm a Christian. And he goes, I have done this before. Every time God tells me to give that vehicle away, give it for whatever those people want it, no matter what the vehicle is, if I do it, he blesses me. He goes, that's how I become manager of this place. Everything that I did, I listened to him, and he would say, give it to that person. He goes, and that's what happened to you. Isn't that crazy? That's God. Can I tell you, that's how inheritance works. It's inheritance. Because you're an heir. It's because God loves you and he cares about you. And he knows your needs. I've told you before, what am I doing with this building? What are we doing? All of you, listen, what are you guys doing with this building? It's because you're heirs. We are heirs in this. It's an inheritance to us. Can I tell you, it's a mindset that you have to take on. It's something that you have to really think about. God wants you to think about what you're doing when you're doing things. Can I tell you, it's okay to buy a car on payments? Can I tell you that? It's okay. Does that sound like inheritance? It's all inheritance. Everything in your life is an inheritance to you when you're serving God. It really is. And it works for you and it doesn't work against you. It's cool. It really is. I want to show you the scripture. This is Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. Check this out. Because if there's anything, I love to tell this story, this one here that we're about to look at. But Lord said, but it was like, almost like God was saying, no, don't talk about that today. Because, you know, I love the obedience of the fish in this little story. You got to think about that God spoke to a fish and told him to pick up gold and goes. And then he tells him, you know, hey, look for a hook. And he goes and jumps on this. It's a beautiful, it's a crazy story about obedience, how a fish would even obey God. It's crazy. It's cool. But look at this story. It says, when they came to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? And Peter said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him or stopped him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers? Jesus is asking this guy a question. He said, man, who has to pay taxes? And then Peter answers him. He says, well, strangers. Jesus said to him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook, take up the fish that first comes up, and when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. For now, just forget about the fish being so obedient that he would pick up a piece of gold, go find a hook, jump on it, and then Peter would have money to pay the tax people. Think about what Jesus told him. The children are free. The children are free. Every one of you in the house of God, everyone that you hear, you are God's children. Everything on the planet is free to you. Do you hear? That's why you can expect big things from God. Because everything is given to you from God. Can I tell you, he's a good God. And he wants to give. And he wants to give. But what he wants to do is he wants to be a part of your life so that you know without a doubt that it's him doing it. I don't know how to run this building. I got no idea. But God has sent folks to help me. I don't know how to do the things that we're doing here. But God is leading and guiding because it's our inheritance. It's because it's something he's given. Watch this last scripture. This is the last scripture. Hallelujah. The promise. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Check this out. This is what the Word of God says. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you see that? He will supply all your needs. Now, what he knows you need could be totally different than what you think you need. Is that right? Yay. Can you be comfortable with that? Can you be comfortable with God with the fact that he knows what you need and he'll get it to you and he'll build you and he'll strengthen you and he has a plan for you, that he's going to get you everything you need for the kingdom's sake so that you can be strong in the earth. Mighty woman of God, mighty man of God in this earth. Can I tell you that that's God's plan for you? He loves you and he cares about you. And he's trying to get everything to you. But a lot of times we're too busy for God. Anybody been too busy for God? I don't even want to see a hand. A lot of times we're just too busy for him. But let me tell you something. If you'll take time and go after him, you're going to find that he opens things up to you. And you're going to find that his plan begins to work in your life more and more. You'll see it. You'll understand it. You'll go, man, this has been your plan all the time. I didn't plan for this. I didn't plan to be the pastor of this church. I didn't ask for it. But the Holy Spirit told me, he said, because, you know, Henry, you pray in the Spirit. And because you pray in the Spirit, you didn't know you were asking. But you were asking. You've been asking. And now it's manifest right before your eyes. Isn't that crazy? God has given you everything you need, including, folks, listen, I know there's a lot of folks out there that, oh, this and that about the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, including the Holy Spirit is already dwelling in you. If you release what he's given you, if you just allow him to sing through you, you watch what he brings to you. I was telling a young man the other day, or I think it was yesterday, you know that song goes, la, 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 you know, and you know what? I said, man, consider yourself singing in the Spirit. La, 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 la. I'll tell you, what God has placed within you is designed to come out of you. Do you know that? What he's placed within you is designed to shine forth through you. That's what will win the lost. That's what will draw the lost. That's what will cause the lost to hear and all of a sudden to say, God is real. He's real. He's real. He's real. He's real. Yes, I know he's real. He's real. Hallelujah. Stand up. Can get everybody stand up. Father. Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit whom you have sent to lead us, to guide us into all truth, Father. I thank you, Lord, that that's his job in the earth today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. Thank you for the inheritance you brought us into, Father. And Lord, thank you that we have not yet seen even the slightest. We have not known about what you are and why you're planning. Father God, we've barely seen the tip of the iceberg, Lord. But God, we know that you are taking us someplace. We know, Father, that this house here is a source of the kingdom of God. There's other houses here in the city that are sources of the kingdom of God. Father, we know that this city is designed to be a city set on a hill where light shines constantly day and night. Lord, use us for that kingdom. Use us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Bring us, Father, into what you have for us, Father. I thank you for it. Praise you for it, Lord. If there's anybody in the house, listen, the simplest things can be just the simple fact of saying, Jesus, I need you, can be a life-changing event. The simple fact of saying, Lord, I recognize what you've done for me. Jesus died on a cross for you to bring you into this marvelous kingdom that I'm talking about this morning, into the inheritance that he wants to give you. It's as easy saying, Lord, I recognize what you've done for me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. And he will. Just that simple. He'll wash your sins away. He'll set you on a rock. He'll set you on a foundation that won't fall, won't crumble, won't shake. And he'll begin to show you everything that he has for you as you go after him. So if you will, bow your heads and say, repeat after me, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just that simple. You become an inheritor. You become an heir. Isn't that cool? God doesn't want it hard. He wants it easy. He wants it so that you can just go on. God, you'll forgive my sin. Okay, great. Awesome. If there's anybody that needs prayer after when we close right here, come on up. We'll pray for you. We'll pray over you. We'll ask God to show you things, open things to you. We'll do all that we can for you, because I know that you are all heirs of the kingdom of God, and God is trying to get things to you. He's trying to place it within you. Oh, rakapa. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. God, we're about to release the folks, Father. Lord, have your way. Lord, even as we go in and have a Mexican food today, Lord, God, would you just bless the food and make it good for our bodies, Lord, but also, Lord, bless the fellowship. If there's somebody here that needs to hear from you, Father, would you just let them hear, Father. We thank you for it this morning. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Let's give God hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for coming to church this morning. Hey, don't forget.